I'm Frank Garza, and welcome to Here and Abroad, a podcast that follows the U.S. men's national team and their player pool across Europe, MLS, or wherever else they play their club football. On today's show, we're going to talk about Haji Wright and the season he's having at Coventry City FC. He joined the club in August and has 18 goals in all competitions so far this season. Haji's momentum with the USMNT also seems to be surging with his recent performance in the Nations League finals, where he scored 2 goals in the semifinal, which earned him a start in the final. To help me talk through all of this, I've invited Andy Turner to join the show. Andy is the Coventry Telegraph sports writer covering Coventry City FC. He is a lifelong Sky Blues fan who has been covering the club since 1998. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Frank. Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, really, really great to have you here today. I've been wanting to do a show about Haji Wright because his momentum just seems to be surging so much within the U.S. men's national team. And so I wanted to talk through more about him at the club level. There's been a lot of highlights, I think, for him this season. But I wanted to start by just hearing, what has been your favorite Haji Wright moment of the season so far?
Oh, that's so easy. There's just one that stands out. You ask any of the Coventry City fans, and they love him, by the way. They were a bit sceptical at the start, but we'll talk about that in a little while. But, I mean, his winning goal in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup at Wolves, which Wolves are a Premier League side, that winning goal in the last minute of added time, of stoppage time, was just sensational. Just the whole move for it, but what it meant, you know, putting Coventry City into the semi-final at Wembley and the fans having another trip to the National Stadium, you know, it just meant so much. And the place just erupted. It was just fantastic scenes. Absolutely fantastic scenes. I mean, it was absolute chaos in the press box. I mean, because they have... Premier League clubs have video monitors, so we see replays. Fortunately, I mean, at Championship level, it's a bit hit and miss. So Premier League clubs that have been relegated, they don't always have that technology. So if you miss it, if they haven't got that technology in place and you miss the goal, you've missed the goal until you see the replay like half an hour later or whatever. But fortunately, I mean, it was just chaos because there's so many rewrites to that end of the game for my match report, you know, because at one point they're winning and then 2 quick goals in the last 10 minutes for Wolves meant that Coventry were then losing and it looked like they were going out. So, you know, I'm rewriting that and all of a sudden Ellis Sims pops up with an equaliser and then, I'm thinking, it's going to extra time. And before I can sort of draw breath, Haji Wright sticks it in the back of the net and has got the winner. And I completely miss it because I've got my head down typing. So it's absolute chaos. So I actually missed the goal first time around, but then I had to sort of scuttle around and watch it on the replay. It was just wonderful scenes. And he'll be remembered. I mean, I don't know how long he's going to be at Coventry City, but the fans will remember that goal for many, many years to come because it was just such a... The move itself was a superb move, you know, the way that Callum O'Hare played it into the box and Ellis Sims just set it up for him and he just stroked it, you know, into the far corner across the keeper and it nestled, you know, inside the far post, inside the far netting. It was just sensational. It really was.
Yeah, we saw that highlight many, many times. Mm. You know, over here, and a lot of people were following the FA Cup a lot more closely, yeah. Because of Haji Wright, and so that's great to hear that that's a memory that fans will have with them, you know, for a long time. You mentioned there was some skepticism at first, you know, the first part of the season, and it did seem like he got off to a slow start. I was wondering if you could kind of talk about why you think that happened, and then how he was able to turn his season around.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of reasons. I mean, I was just looking back, and, you know, he joined the club on August the 4th, I think it was, and his first game was on August the 6th, 2 days later. So he joined on the Friday and he played against Leicester City on the Sunday. He was on the bench, so he probably had one training session with his new teammates. So the fact that he hadn't had a pre-season with his new teammates, in fact, a lot of Coventry's recruitment was done late. Not deliberately, but that's just the way that things unfolded. You know, the money for Victor Gyökeres and Gustavo Hamer in particular, that was a late deal as well. And they didn't necessarily have the funds in place to get all the recruitment done. And, you know, recruitment can be quite tricky as well anyway. And so they didn't sort of a lot of the players came late to the party and didn't have that bedding in period that, you know, ideally you get all your business done in sort of May, June time. You go away in July for pre-season tour. And basically, I mean, the pre-season tour to Portugal, they had a week of training with a game at the end of it. It was full of development squad kids, you know, teenagers sort of making up the numbers with players from the previous season. And just one or two new additions. So I think that was a big factor in it. Also, I think, you know, a lot of Coventry's players came from abroad. And, you know, I think there's a time to settle in. You know, it's a new culture, you know, a new environment. If they've got families, I think Hadji's got a young family. And, you know, just finding accommodation and settling in, sort the kids out with play school or school or whatever they've got. All those sort of factors, you know, there's that bedding in period and then it's getting to know your teammates and everybody was getting to know each other. I mean, they had 14 players left in the summer and 10 came in and another one in January, making 11 in all. So it was a big turnover of players. And we saw it wasn't just Hadji. We saw it with a lot of players that started off sort of slowly. I mean, Tatsuhiro Sakamoto, the Japanese player, winger, he's a classic example, another example. And Ellis Sims, the striker, another example. You know, they took time to get going and then all of a sudden got to around Christmas time, just after Christmas, and they're absolutely flying and really flourishing. So yeah, I think there's a lot of factors involved, and so it didn't come as any great surprise. And the one thing about Mark Robbins is that he always has this mantra, sort of trust the process. And the process is basically, you know, he's coming to a new country, he's got to settle in, you've got to get to know new teammates, learn how they play, adapt to a new style of play, and particularly adapt to the Championship, which is a really, really competitive league. I mean, I would suggest it's one of the most competitive, if not the most competitive second tier league in the world, you know, and the pace of that. And also, you know, he was adapting to different positions as well, you know, because he came as a striker, but he wasn't always played as a striker, as I'm sure you know, you know, and he sort of more latterly, he plays more as a wide left player moving inside. So all those factors, I think.
You mentioned that the fans, you know, really love him. Is that mainly because of that goal that you mentioned at the start, or were they all already super positive about him, you know, before that? You know, what do the fans love so much about him?
I just think it's, you know, he's exciting on the eye, you know, because he's got great pace, he's a good size, he looks like a proper athlete, doesn't he? And when he came, that first game, I think he went on about the 71st minutes against Leicester. And he was just explosive. He really caught the eye. He really stood out. And Coventry were, I think it was 1-1 at the time. And he went on this run. He'd only been on a couple of minutes. And he just was rapid. He just moved up the pitch and he hit the ball. He thumped it so hard and it was tipped onto the crossbar. And he thought, wow, you know, if that had gone in, it had given Coventry the lead. In the end, they ended up losing 2-1. But that little cameo sort of, I think, set in people's minds, well, we've got a really special player on our hands here. And although he was a slow burner, I think he scored 2 goals in his first 14 matches, something like that. You know, eventually the goals did start coming and we did start seeing more consistency. And the one thing about the Coventry fans is they know they've been through dark times. They know the bad times. I won't give you the boy with the history of the club, but they've had some really, really dark times, tough times. And until Mark Robbins came in, they started 7 years ago, they started down in League Two, and he dragged them back up to the Championship. And so they've been on this fantastic journey over the last 7 years. It's just been an upward curve. But Coventry fans are just enjoying their football so much, and they just appreciate every special moment they get now. And the one thing about Coventry fans is once they take to a player, they really take to them. And they have songs for most players. There are very few players that don't have a song. And so they were quick to give him a song. So he's got his own song that they sing on a regular basis. And it's not very inventive. I mean, they're quite funny with some of their songs, but this one's just ole, 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 Hadji, right, 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 Hadji, right, right, right. I don't know whether he's had that one before, but yeah, so, you know, they can see what a good player, they can see all the attributes he's got, and it's just, they're now seeing that everything coming to fruition, and I think everybody's just so excited about next season, because he's had a great season. I mean, to have 18 goals in all competitions, I mean, and Ellis Sims as well, he's got 19. So Coventry City have got, you know, they've got two games left, and there's an opportunity for to have two strikers on 20 goals a season, which is just, you know, I mean, 20 goals is a rarity anyway, for, you know, in any division for a striker. So everybody's hoping and expecting him to go up another notch next season, and just really excited to have him at the club.
Yeah, you talked about some of his, you know, strengths he brings to the table there, the pace, the athleticism. That's kind of what I want to get into a little bit more next is what are some other strengths you see in Haji Wright, and then what are the biggest opportunities you see for him to improve?
Well, one of the sort of fascinating ones, and one that you sort of left scratching your head with, is that he's only scored two goals with his head, right? And we were told when he first came, you know, I asked the manager, what's he like? What's his strengths? You know, right? He's always really good in the air. And I think he scored 10 goals in his previous two seasons, I think Haji was telling me, in Turkey. And so he is used to scoring, you know, he's very good in the air. And, you know, 6'4", you'd expect that as well. But obviously playing out wide for a lot of his games, he doesn't really get that opportunity as much, although he can sort of ghost in at the back post. And I think it's down to quality of the delivery, really, that he hasn't scored more with his head. But I think that's one aspect that it's a strength of his that he would like to do more. But I think, you know, it's not just down to him. It's the opportunities, it's the quality of delivery as well. So I think they're hoping to sort of work on that. And the only other sort of areas of that I think that he could perhaps improve is perhaps that he needs to get a bit more aggressive, a bit more nasty. We need to see that. I mean, because he's such a strong lad. You know, he's a big lad. And, you know, you see him going past defenders, and I actually think he can really terrorise defenders. A bit like Victor Gyökeres. He's a different player to Victor Gyökeres. But I think he can bully defenders more because he is such a big, strong lad, you know, muscular lad. And, you know, whether it's just part of his character, you know, he's quite laid back. And a sort of fairly sort of placid guy off the pitch. And I don't know whether that sort of goes onto the pitch as well a little bit sometimes. So I think, you know, if he could add that bit of aggression, that bit of nastiness, then that might sort of serve him better in seasons to come. But it's interesting, actually, just going back to your first point about, you know, why he didn't settle and all that sort of stuff. I mean, Victor Gyökeres, obviously, they were big boots to fill. And I often wondered whether, because he'd done so well and he was such a superstar at Coventry, and you often wonder whether, you know, he was being compared to him because, you know, he came for a big fee, £7 million, which is a record fee for Coventry. You know, it was the biggest fee they paid for a striker in 23 years since they were back in the Premier League. So, you know, I often wonder whether that was a weight on his shoulders. But he always maintained that it didn't bother him whenever I've spoken to him. But you know, it's certainly there, a little lurking in the background.
You mentioned how he's mostly been playing, you know, out wide for Coventry. And, you know, us U.S. National team fans, we've always thought of Haji more of a striker, central forward. Although in the Nations League finals that I just mentioned, he did come on as substitute and play out wide in one of those games. And so I'd like to just get your opinion on what do you think of him out wide versus a striker? Is there one position you think he's better at than the other?
It's interesting. Now, I asked him in the last interview I did, which was just a few weeks ago, you know, which he prefers. And his answer was quite telling, really, because he said, well, I signed as a striker, which I thought spoke volumes, really. But then, you know, he was quick to add, you know, he's not going to rock the boat, obviously. And he's quick to add that, you know, I'm happy to adapt and play anywhere, you know. And playing out wide, it served him well because, you know, obviously he scored goals. But because he's such a big lad and Ellis Sims is a big lad as well, and they play this, they've switched to the second half of the season, they play a 4-2-3-1 formation. So he plays wide of a three on the left. And Ellis Sims, who's also a big unit, he plays sort of as the lone striker sort of thing. And so that's, I guess that's why Haji's been played more wide, because he's more adaptable to that position. And it does suit him because he can cut in and stroke the ball with his right foot. I mean, he scored a lot of goals that way and he gets a lot of chances that way. And that's been very effective. But I would like to see him play down the middle more. And it was interesting that a month or so ago, he was played down the middle and that's when he scored with his head. One of those rare goals with his head. So it'll be interesting next season. Next season, they signed a lad from Peterborough, which is a League One club, in January. But the stipulation of the agreement was that he went back on loan to Peterborough. So Coventry don't get him to the summer. But this lad is a left winger, an out-and-out left winger, who has scored goals, but he's also fantastic with assists. So it'll be interesting to see, because he'll sort of potentially come in to rival Hadji in that position. But I can see Coventry maybe adapting to a 4-4-2 and then playing Hadji up front with Ellis Sims and maybe getting a partnership going with those two, because that's something that they haven't really tried yet. And I do wonder whether that's something in the coach's mind.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch. And, you know, I'm still interested to watch to see how Greg Berhalter deploys him, you know, with the U.S. men's national team, whether he continues to experiment with him out wide or plays more centrally. There's a pretty healthy competition going on in the U.S. men's national team for that striker position. So it's going to be just really fun to watch in these coming months.
Yeah. Do they play with a three and a one up front?
No, they usually play in a more traditional, 4-3-3, but yeah. I guess in that match, they did start Gio Reyna as more of that, you know, central number 10 with Pulisic on the left, Way on the right, and I guess Hadji Wright is that central forward. So I guess the U.S. goes back and forth between those two, although they have been leaning more towards this 4-2-3-1, as you mentioned, that, you know, Coventry plays. But a little bit of both and sometimes a mix of both. Mm-hmm. So what about next season? You know, a lot of times player like this in the championship comes out and scores, you know, maybe he does get to 20 goals, but, you know, whether it stays at 18 is still great too, obviously. A lot of times we start to talk about that player getting a transfer to another team. Do you see that for Hadji, or, you know, I know he's on a 4-year contract. I mean, what do you think is going to be Hadji's future for next season?
Well, I definitely think he's going to be at Coventry. I don't think there's anything to suggest that he's unsettled or anything like that. It was interesting, actually, because just ahead of the January transfer window, there was a story came out of Turkey. He was linked with interest from Fenerbahce. And I think a lot of the fans were still sort of, the jury was out a little bit. They were a bit undecided. And I think some people wondered whether the club might cash in because it hadn't sort of worked out at that point. But obviously the manager and also crucially, the first team coach and the assistant manager is a guy called Adi Vivash, who worked at Chelsea for 10 years with their development squad and their academy, under 18s. And he is one of the best coaches in the business. He really is a top level elite coach. And he worked with Viktor Gyökeres. Well, he's worked with, he obviously worked with so many development success stories at Coventry. But Viktor Gyökeres is one of his standout ones, because Viktor Gyökeres joined the club on a half-season loan and everybody thought, oh, you know, we can't see a player in there and all that sort of it. The following season, bang, he just hit the ground running. He was just he came back as a different animal in the summer and he was just so strong, scored goals. And just that development was incredible. And that's down, I think, obviously down to the player and their ability, but also elite coaching, getting the best out of him. And I believe that so many of Coventry's players, and Hadji Wright included, are benefiting from his tuition on the training pitch. And, you know, I've interviewed him fairly recently, and he's really excited about next season because he firmly believes that not just Hadji, but a lot of the players that they brought in last summer are just going to kick on and get even better. And so it's exciting times, and I think they're looking forward to a summer of strengthening in key positions and adding to what they've got. It's not going to be such a rebuild as it was last summer. It's more going to be sort of, you know, adding a bit of sprinkling of magic here and there, and hopefully sort of bringing the best out of the players that they've got, who are developing and getting better all the time, you know. And Coventry is very much, it's worked on a development model for many years now, and they bring in young, talented players with the view of improving them, and then eventually they do sell them off inevitably, and then hopefully go again, you know, use that money to replenish the squad with more quality, which obviously they did last year when Gyökeres and Hamer went for a joint 35 million and they brought in the likes of Hagi and Sims, Milan van Avak, players like that. So yeah, I think to answer your question is future. I think certainly next season, firmly with Coventry City, you know, and obviously if he scores a hatful of goals again, there may be a time, depending on whether they get promoted or not. I mean, obviously, Coventry have got high ambitions to get back to the Premier League. And if they can achieve those ambitions, then that might be in line with Hadji's ambitions, because I'm sure he wants to play at the highest level as well. And that's what they're trying to do as a club. They're trying to fulfil their own ambitions, but also the ambitions of the talented players they've got to go on that journey with them. And so if those two things are aligned, then hopefully they will stay together. But as we saw last year, when Coventry didn't get promoted, the likes of Hamer and Gyökeres, you know, they wanted away because they wanted to further their own careers. And, you know, you can't blame them for that. So I guess it all depends on what happens next season. But certainly for next season, I can see him firmly being a Coventry City player. I guess there will be a bit of interest in the summer just because of the amount of goals he scored, as there will probably in Ellis Sims. But, you know, Coventry certainly, I haven't heard that they would be looking to sell or cash in or anything like that, because otherwise they'd just be sort of starting from scratch again, you know. So,
yeah. Well, you make a good point. I mean, coming back to Coventry, fighting with them to try and win promotion, that's a win-win for both the individual and the team. And so that'll be, love to see that. Well, Andy, you know, you cover the team, you know, day in and day out. You mentioned you've interviewed, you know, Hagi before. I wonder if you could share anything, any personal stories about him, whether that's from your times interviewing him, something you've noticed about his personality, funny story you've heard, just anything you think US fans might hearing about Hagi.
Well, the one thing, I mean, it's funny because Coventry still do all their pre-match interviews on Zoom. So we don't actually get to, this is post-COVID thing, and there's a lot of work going on at the training ground. I don't want to bore you with it, but they haven't got the infrastructure in place yet for us to go back down to the training ground. So occasionally we see him post-match if he's brought up for post-match interviews, which are usually sort of quite quick, and you know, you don't get the time to sort of sit down and do a, you know, really sort of dig deep. Because the one thing I want to do with him is I want to sit down and I want to ask him about his background, because, you know, growing up in LA, I mean, it's just a million miles away from sort of, you know, a working class sort of relatively small city, Coventry, in Coventry, you know, in the Midlands. And it's just the cultural difference is just ridiculous. And so I sort of wanted to talk to him about his, you know, growing up in LA and that sort of stuff. But no, he's very laid back. So I've only sort of really scratched the surface. But what I do know is that he's in this little clique in the training ground. There's him, there's Callum O'Hare, there's Fabio Tavares, Milan van Avak, who's a Dutch fullback. And they've just dragged in Victor Torp, who joined in the January window. And they've got this thing where they play Mario Kart on Nintendo Switch. And they do this at the training ground, they do it on the team bus, going to away games. And they even had a goal celebration. I think Callum O'Hare had a celebration. He scored a goal, and they all went and they all sat in a line like playing Mario Kart on the pitch. So he's really sort of struck up a real rapport with those sort of three or four players, and they're really sort of a real tight knit friendship group. But you know, the whole squad get on really well, and that's one of the strengths that Coventry have had over the last 7 years under Mark Robbins, is that they've had a really tight-knit squad, and it's been evolving and changing every season, but they all get on so well, and they've all got each other's backs, and they all get on so well. And you know, I asked the press lads the other day, I sort of said, what's Hadji like at the training ground and that, and he says, oh, he's just so laid back, he just walks in, hi guys, fist pumps, you know, and all this sort of stuff. And you know, he's just, it's really nice laid back guy, you know, he's just a lovely character, you know. But I think he's fairly quiet, but just goes about his business, but just really easygoing and just a lovely guy.
Yeah. Seems like a very likable guy from all the interviews I've seen with him, and just hearing people speak about him. So
yeah,
thank you for sharing that. I always like to try and learn a little bit of inside information about some of these Americans, you know, playing abroad. Well, Andy, really appreciate you being on the show. I'll make sure and put links in the show notes to your X account, which is at Andy Turner CCFC, and also to your work at the Coventry Telegraph. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Here and Abroad. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with a fellow USMNT fan. I'm Frank Garza. You can follow me on X at Frank Garza 007, and I'll be back next week with a new episode.